And just give Peggy a chance to come on up and share a little bit of an update. You guys know that Johnny Cash song? She's been everywhere, man. She's been traveling all over the world, and God's got her doing a lot of fun stuff. So just a quick update, a chance to know what to pray for.
Yeah, praying for my travels is a big thing. I didn't expect to be so busy this year, but it's been good. But I have to tell you that there are a lot of people that are hearing about Beggar's Gate because I'm talking to them about how important it is to take care of one another. So I do brag on you a bit. And I'm excited to be back to do a debriefing and also to kind of fine-tune the training. And I have people in Spokane, Washington, people in South Africa, people in Florida that all want to be trained. So I'm kind of checking with people to see if the week of September 25th works. And because we have so many time zones, we're doing it at 9:00 in the morning, Kansas City time. Because I have somebody on the West Coast, that'll be her 7 a.m. and it'll be 3 p.m. South Africa time. So it's 3 days. So if you're interested, maybe you can pencil in those days. And I know it doesn't adjust with work schedule, but maybe those of you with kids in school, it will work. So thank you so much. And anybody who has any questions about debriefing, you can ask Nathan or Pat.
Do you guys have questions for Peggy? Hang on, Peggy, real quick. Oh, a Zoom recording.
We're talking about doing it, but there's some activities in it. But we may do it, though. We may record it and then have you find a partner to do it. So, yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah.
25th.
The 25th, 26th, and 27th of September. What we're looking at.
Like all day.
Two to 2.5 hours a day.
8:00 Mountain Time.
8:00 Mountain Time.
8 a.m.
But we are going to experiment with recording it and see how it works to have a partner to do it with. So, thank you.
Any other questions you guys have for Peggy? She's really getting an opportunity to bring, I think, and interject a lot of health into workers and to others that want to help them. And part of this week is we really want to just put our minds together and say, how can we help put this material together to then export it? Not just for cross-cultural workers, but lots of different situations that need debriefing in our lives. Yeah. So thanks for being here with us and looking forward to this week. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, so like we mentioned, we'll probably get done a little early this morning, just with a wedding this afternoon, folks helping set up for that and different things going on. But we did just want to revisit and just digest together in community last week with Joe sharing. And before he came up, I don't know if you remember, I said, you may be on an end of a spectrum that says I'm kind of skeptical and I don't know if I'm really picking up what you're putting down. I don't know if I'm there. Or you may be on another end where you go, whatever Kool-Aid you drank, please pour me a cup because I'd like some as well. So we recognize that as we walk into these discussions, and especially with somebody that's not in our midst usually, maybe that would hit you in a different way. And especially referring to understanding the Spirit's role and what the Spirit's doing, there's a lot of excesses, I think, as we look around the world and we can go, well, I've seen a video of Benny Hinn doing something at one point in time, and that's kind of my understanding of people who are thinking of spiritual healings or different things like that. And just so you know, that's
with not, or without lightsabers.
With or without lightsabers. Or using the Force. That's not where Joe would be as far as his understanding and his traditions. But we recognize that, especially when it comes to the Spirit's work and giftings in different ways, there's different places that lands in everybody, and that's totally fine. We wanted to take some time to share how this really lands in us and in as a leader team, how we see this really being effective, how we see this part of our vision, and then just give you guys opportunities if there's questions you guys had. So if you want to just go to that first slide, just this understanding of spiritual authority. If you've been through our TPM class, I don't know if it would be very revolutionary to think that there's an authority spiritually that we don't have in and of ourselves. I don't have the authority to tell myself to believe something I don't believe is true. If I say, Nathan, believe 2 + 2 = 5, I can laugh along and we'll play a funny joke, but at the end of the day, I don't have the authority to change my belief that 2 + 2 = 4. I'm stuck where I'm at, right? And so we recognize in TPM, we need an outside voice. We need someone with greater authority. We need God's voice to change what we believe when we're believing lies. When in my mind I say, I fully believe, Nathan, you're condemned and you ought to be ashamed of your life. I can't force myself to not believe that because that is my belief. I need an outside authority to change my belief. So in TPM, we talk about that a lot. And so that's a understanding I think we have as a body. And I think a lot of what Joe was sharing last week is understanding whether it's for internal lie-based belief transformation and healing, or it's for God to do something miraculous in somebody's life. We don't have that authority in and of ourselves. It does reside in God. And so for us to posture and position and attitudinally be in a place where you say, God, we need your authority. We need your methods, your means to do this. Whether that's addressing false beliefs I have in my heart, or that's addressing somebody who needs prayer for any sorts of things. And so for me, it wasn't too outrageous, I think, for me to hear what Joe was sharing, because I think it lines up very well. And so just these examples in Scripture where you know, Paul cries out in Romans 7, who can save me from this body? I'm stuck in this tug of war of what I want to do and what I'm stuck doing. And we just recognize I don't have the authority to get myself out of that tug of war. I need God to get me out of that tug of war. And in Mark 3, as Jesus describes the kingdom of darkness, they're saying, you're casting out demons by Satan. And he says, no kingdom divided against itself can stand. Right? Oh, real quick, at the bottom there. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house, plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man. And here's the thing. Jesus is the only one who has the authority to bind Satan. Right? I don't have that power. I don't have that authority. But in Jesus' name, he's given us things, whether it's with spirits or with healing or with different things like that. Then indeed he may plunder his house. So we just understand as part of M28, all of the Great Commission of making disciples starts with this understanding that we're under Jesus' authority. We're not making disciples because we want big churches. We're not making disciples because we want some notoriety or reputation of some kind, or for my teaching to become well. Oh, have you heard of the Herodian teaching? You know, nothing like that. That's not why we make disciples. We make disciples because we're under his authority, his disciples, his teaching, his following. And it's all under the headship of Christ as we make disciples. And so under that authority, if you want to go to the next one, This may be an idea that maybe you haven't thought about. There's a lot of different ways people first get exposed to the gospel, and God starts to encounter them and change them. In Western Christianity, for a long time, we've kind of had one lane, which is a truth encounter. I was believing lies, or I was misguided and confused, or I was kind of wondering about existential things. And truth came to me. God showed that he's the creator. God showed that he's the redeemer. If you've ever read Martin Luther's testimony and biography, he had a truth encounter. He wondered, why? What's all this going on? Why is this all here? What is God up to? And God spoke to him through Romans 1. And God encountered him and changed him. That's one way that we see in Scripture God changing people's life. It's the truth of Scripture, the truth of God comes upon them. But there's also other ways as well. And that's a little bit of what Joe was alluding to. A lot of the Gospels, a lot of the book of Acts are what we would call power encounters. The power of God comes in to this blind man. The power of God comes into this lame man. The power of God comes to this demon-possessed man and that's chained up and nobody wants him in their region. They did not go to those people and go, have you read Isaiah chapter 50? It was not a truth encounter. It was a power encounter of the authority of God. And from that, then they go, who is this God who just healed me? Who is this God that I want to follow, because now I'm in my right mind and those pigs are possessed and not me. And that is a legitimate way God moves in this world. And that happens, maybe not so much as you see it in your circles here. It is certainly happening globally. There are witch doctors, former witch doctors in Nepal, who would say, I came to Christ because God revealed himself to me in power. Nobody came up to me and said, chapter and verse, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9. Okay, we got that, right? We got that. Nobody did that. He came in power and delivered him from possession, delivered him from addiction. And then there's also another encounter, which we talk about in our skills class, this encounter of the oneness and love. People come in and they go, I've never experienced love like this, I've never experienced oneness. This connection, this is enthralling. This is what I'm looking for. And so we just have to recognize God moves through a lot of different means for people to then want to start to follow him. Maybe many of us had truth encounters as our first primary discussion with God and the gospel, and that's certainly legitimate. And I think what Joe's trying to open up to help us understand is there's other ways as well. And it's recorded in Scripture. Anecdotally, you can tell story after story after story of that going on in the world.
Maybe just mention real quick here, I think it may be an error to say, oh, I had a truth encounter. Well, no, you also had the power of the Spirit bringing conviction, and you also experienced the love of God. So it's like a gateway or a point of emphasis. It's not like one lever goes all the way up and nothing else is involved. But God does have ways that the tip of the spear can vary in a variety of places. And when I think about the condition of our nation, our world, and that's really all we're trying to sort out, is are there tools that we can be bringing to bear in our local context that would help the gospel flourish and run out there, and so we want to explore those things. If you have the same color of hair as I do, you grew up in a culture that Jesus already had esteem. He already had authority. His reputation, people would despise Christians potentially, but Jesus was off limits. Jesus was a good guy. He in most context, they're not believing him. Obviously, there's hurt. I hate God from relational things, but in general, you didn't have to establish Jesus' authority. People believed that the Bible was the good book and that Jesus was this good God, at least loving in his teaching. They wouldn't have disrespected him. But now it's like, clueless. Who's Jesus? The default setting now is there is no God. Jesus may never have lived. That's what's floating through our culture now. And his teaching may have been toxic. So to think, oh, we're just going to look for a power encounter, no. Is there a way, is there a gateway that some people would find it easier to find the gospel if we access some of the variety of ways that Jesus does it? We want to use all in appropriate ways. So,
Another thing to just keep in mind, what Joe's talking about is not just, if you go to the next one, it's not just signs for signs' sake. And I don't think that's my heart. I don't think that's Joe's heart, is just to say, Let's just ask the Spirit to do crazy stuff so that he can just go crazy. And it would be awesome if it's crazy. Like, that's not the heart of any of this. And actually, Jesus, he said, when they said, hey, we want to see a sign, that's when he goes, no. That's not what I'm here for, is to just be this magician that does a sign. You want a sign? I'm going to be in the earth for 3 days, and then I'm going to rise again. My sign to you is that I'm going to die for the sins of the world. Will you believe? And so we recognize in every human heart, it can often be, I won't believe until I see, and I don't think that's how God tends to work, but he does come, and he wants to heal, and he wants to minister, but we're not after just saying, unless God, you do this, you know, people can't believe, or that's not our heart at all, and that's not Joe's heart. So really, if you keep going to the next one, there's this idea that Paul describes in Corinthians, because he's interacting with many different cultures. He's interacting with Greek culture. He's interacting with Roman culture. He's interacting with Israelite culture. And each one of those cultures might emphasize one of those encounters more than the other. In fact, they did. So Greeks, right, when he went to Athens, Paul was just like, man, these guys just like to talk and talk and talk and philosophize all day long. They're just looking for some truth, some nugget of some rationale thought that will lead them to enlightenment. And he had a different approach with them, right? Whereas he says in Corinthians, right, the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But what do? We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So there is a corrupted way of seeing Christ as some sort of magic maker, do this kind of thing. And we know those excesses. That's not what we're talking about. if that's what's in your mind of those types of events or big tent revivals or, we're going to go see this thing happen. That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about Christ, the power of God. He does have power. He does have authority. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can still heal people? Do you believe that God wants to? And we're not demanding signs, but we are exalting Christ to see him proclaimed, because Christ is the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so we just understand different cultures have these different stumbling blocks to faith. God wants to reveal himself in power. God wants to reveal himself as the truth, as the wisdom of God in every dimension of life. And so we really see these as integrated, not this new thing or not this new manifestation of any sort of type of idea of the Spirit in any way, but what God has been doing since the inception of the church.
Yeah, and maybe just even why we're doing this today is we realize that some of those ideas are, on the edge of where maybe the lane you're in. You may have been really stimulated by what Joe was communicating, and man, I want to jump into this. You may go, well, what does this mean? And we just really want to reason this through together. And I really appreciate those who go, well, what about this? That you're asking questions. I think that's a really solid way to think about it. And we want those questions even today to come up. And we're not committed to anything. We're saying, is this something that we can look at and experiment with and see, Lord, do you have something for us that may be an effective tool and an effective interaction with people in our city? But we're not like, oh, okay, we're committed. Let's all go. We'll say, let's go check this out together. There's something going on over here that we see people that we support and we're very closely united with having an impact in the gospel around the world. We go, okay, is there something there that Jesus may want to access for our city? We don't know. We want to sort that out. But we're inviting everyone into that examination of these things, not just saying, hey, here we go.
So at one point last week, I think I remember Joe said, sometimes physical sickness isn't just a physical problem. And he talked about the lame man who was healed and that there was a forgiveness issue, right? And a couple of people just mentioned, maybe this is starting to sound a little bit like, if I don't have enough faith, then I won't be healed, right? And so what we're not talking about is the prosperity gospel. If you go to the next one, which prosperity gospel would say, right, if you have enough faith, you'll be healthy, wealthy, happy.
And good looking.
And good looking. There's a new one. They've added a new thing. So this idea that when we're blessed and when we have faith, God is just going to prosper you. He's going to give you all the desires of your heart in every way, shape, or form. And that would be a vein of teaching that exists in real life in many places in the world. And that's not what Joe's, that's not what he's advertising or offering. That's not what we believe. And because there are huge, huge errors with that way of thinking. Because God himself suffered. If the prosperity gospel is true, why did Jesus suffer? Wasn't he supposed to be the most prosperous man if he's God himself? But God himself went through that suffering, right? And that wealth is not a sign that you're on God's nice list. Disease and ailments are not a sign that you're weak in faith and immature. Many, many amazing saints through history, full of faith, full of belief, full of maturity, debilitated by many hard things. And that is reality. And the reality, ultimately, of the prosperity gospel, why it's so corrosive, it's this acid that just eats your faith from the inside out, is because it mistakes that your blessing from God is just for you. It's just for you to hoard and to kind of just keep for yourself. Where we know, no, I'm blessed to be a channel. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And so I don't know if what he shared that when he said not all physical ailments have a physical problem. I don't know what that did in you. Maybe you go, whoa, is that headache I'm having because I'm weak in faith? Or I don't know. A lot of times we can go to weird places with that. And we're not advertising. We're not commending the prosperity gospel. That's not. But there is a reality in Scripture that says We are integrated beings, okay? So your emotions and your belief and your physical state, all of those things, it's one person, it's you. All of those things affect you. So at least to ask the question, is that headache? Lord, is that there because of that? Maybe it's just because of the brokenness of this world. Maybe it's because I'm really anxious and God wants to minister to me. And it's manifesting now through headaches or different things like that. So just to have an open hand with that. So we don't have to do this next slide. So here's the last thought I want to share, and I think Pat has some thoughts. This is a fascinating graph to me because we just have to recognize we all have confirmation bias, okay? We all see what we want to see. So this is a graph that shows the percentage of Christians and who rated on a spectrum of is Jesus extremely left-wing or is Jesus extremely right-wing? Okay, so they asked, what's your political ideology? And they'd say, I'm Democrat, I'm Republican. And they'd say, do you think Jesus is extremely left-wing or do you think Jesus is extremely right-wing? And this just confirms humans will see what they want to see. So when we read the Gospels, and if we're coming with a lens that of course Jesus only just wants to, you know, help those who are thirsty get water and to help the hungry get food and to clothe those that don't have enough and to have social justice and good for this planet here and now, that would be more of this left-wing idea, then it's like, that's what I see. Those scriptures stand out to me, right? Or if you go, no, Jesus came because he came with truth and he came with a sword and he came, he said he's going to divide and it's going to be uncomfortable teaching. And the ways of this world aren't going to recognize, you know, who they are. And more of this right-wing idea of truth is what fundamentally matters, not social justice. Well, that's what I see. That's who Jesus is. And the reality that Jesus came full of grace and truth. He came full of bringing good into this world here and now, and yet pointing and saying, this isn't your ultimate hope. Your hope is to come in my kingdom that's coming. But what this graph just represents is we have confirmation bias. The Jesus you want to see, you can find. You can find, and you can pick out the verses to say, this is who Jesus is. If we take all of Scripture, we'll say Jesus did heal, and Jesus did preach. He shared uncomfortable truth, and he went down and wrote in the dirt and didn't let anybody accuse the woman caught in adultery. He's all of those things. And we try to contain God to this box of ideology, it won't work. It doesn't work. And so if what Joe shared with you last week about the Spirit being able to heal and speak and move, you go, I don't know about that. I just ask you to pause and just say, would you be open to at least exploring that? Or do you, I know for me, I have confirmation bias because I'm a human being. Until other voices come in and challenge and say, would you consider, would you look at, would you please just take a fresh look at this verse? I'm not going to be confronted with that confirmation bias. And so this opportunity in this cohort is to just say with open hands, Lord, who are you? Jesus, I don't want to contain you to this box of ideology of how I view you, just in my own lens. Who are you, Lord? And reveal yourself through this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe one thing that's not what I wanted. I wanted this one. One thing that's maybe on my heart is I think we can have this sense, and there's a few books written, so we would be classified typically as a non-Pentecostal for sure, the idea that everybody who believes gets the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues. That's true. That's what a Pentecostal by definition is. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Then there's other variations of gifts and the Spirit, and we've looked at those graphs from, you know, complete cessationist all the way to a full, it's exactly like the New Testament, and everybody speaks in tongues when they believe. So there's this huge spectrum of what it means to be theologically. We would be non-cessationist, but way less than everybody has, you know, everybody's going to have a manifestation, a supernatural gift that is a sign gift. We wouldn't be there. So technically we'd be non-charismatic, but believing that God, the Spirit is active and can heal and do all kinds of things that are evidence of his power for all kinds of reasons, to encourage, to bless. You know, the prayer for Tim is not for the gospel. It's just we are asking for a blessing. But for others, it might be that they would see the power of God at work in their heart. And sometimes he asks us to suffer. So we stand there, So in that, when we think about what is going on in the world around us and how might we be able to access and bring some of what God is doing in the earth to bear in our world, I just want to have some goals, and I'd love to hear some of how it hit you, and maybe some of the things you go, I don't know about this, or what about this. I just want to have a spirit of being curious and seeking the Lord. Is there a way to access? Because does anybody think culture has changed? Does anybody think the way you need to share the gospel may need to be modified based on the status of culture? Okay, so what new things? We're not going to go outside of Scripture, but what new things might we need to consider if we're going to effectively communicate? One simple thing. Many of you in this room, probably with your parents especially, do you want to go to heaven? Do you know you're going to heaven? Well, that's the question number one in a Bible worldview culture. Because they already believe there's a God, there's a heaven and a hell, there's, you know, all those consequences. That is not an effective question in our culture. They don't even believe there's a God as a default, or at least not a personal God. Not the God you're thinking of. So do we need to modify the questions? And so almost every tool, including Three Circles, which is our primary way we want to equip people, starts with creation. There's not an assumption that everybody knows who Jesus is, or that they have a creation story in mind. So just, Lord, what is it you might teach us? And we may get to the end of this 12 week and go, yeah, that's really not going to be an effective tool for us. But I'll bet God is not going to be bothered that we walked around our neighborhoods praying for people. But he's not going to rebuke us for trying to seek him for wisdom and to have that spirit of curiosity and to really just seek, Lord, what do you have for us to be more effective in contextualizing the gospel in our city? And then just allow those new ideas to be considered. We live in a different time. This, our city is different than the cities, both directions. What God is and the spirit of this place is different. Are we aware of it? What would the angels of the Lord say to the church in Loveland? We want to find out, Lord, and to do it in community. That considers, and maybe this is even more important for you, are you willing to be led? Not by us, but by the Spirit. Are you willing to let the Spirit lead you into something that may, gee, I don't know how I feel about that. If you're convinced, if you're persuaded it is the Spirit, are you willing to follow? So often, Jesus was warning, look, you're not going to do it, I'm going to stop giving you truth. I think sometimes we can limit to what God would want to do in our lives because we've predetermined we're going to either not do it or test it, or we're going to be the ultimate arbitrator of whether it has value or not. And I think we can shut the door before God even speaks because he knows the condition of our heart, whether we're in a posture to be led, in a posture to cooperate with him. And I just back on this one quick picture because I think it's important. The authority of God is going to lead us to this place where we become different people and allows us to be more in this state of connection and cooperation. There's an outcome here. That's the top is we can be led. We can also be enjoying him and filled with his joy, living in his presence. The goal of transformation is not to clean us up so we get more stuff or we look good among each other. It is to find this place where we're more in step, more filled up, more filled with the joy of the Lord. And that's all we're trying to do is see if there's things God may want to do. So, go ahead.
Not, but there's always opportunity to at least ask.
Yeah, it never hurts to ask. And probably what I'd leave you guys with, just because I need to get rolling, is we're just open to dialogue, right? So as you guys consider these thoughts, as you guys consider what's shared, part of what we're trying to do is learn this in community together, right? And just to say, huh, that's interesting. What do you think about that? And in the abundance of counselors, there is success, okay? So as we counsel together and as we say, that's interesting. I don't want to just be one of those red lines that thinks Jesus is just exactly the way that I want him to be. I want to understand the real Jesus. And so please, what do you think when you see that? What do you see? Oh, you've got work in medical field. Tell me what you're seeing in that. I don't have that experience. All these different opportunities just to learn from each other, learn from Scripture, and learn from what Joe and Novo have been doing. 2,500 people have been through this training. So we're not the first ones to go. We're not going to be like, oh, right there. See, you know, there's been enough people that have gone through this, that are godly, that want to honor Jesus. And so that would be our invitation for you guys, is to consider that. And even if you're not going to do that, like I said, there'd be people that would be blessed if you want to help with childcare. And just to have that posture of we're leadable, Lord, and we want to do this in community together. So why don't I
yeah, maybe last you thought, go just for it. Real quick. The we lied. We're not getting out early. The
Does
idea
have a
that
jet?
If you are concerned, and I am very concerned about people thinking, oh, this is for me. This is, and then it's going to mess with my identity if God doesn't do something, or the authority doesn't work, or I'm going to get into this, you know, this roller coaster. Here's a simple solution to that: only pray for other people's blessing, so that they will more fully know and obey Jesus. Make that the focus of your prayer, not bless me, bless me, bless my business, bless my. So test these things with a very pure gospel orientation before you start. And God may want to bless you. I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for your own blessing. But if that's your metric, you're more inclined to make a mistake. Say, this is for me. Because the thing that Joe said that said, oh my, I've never connected those dots. So that you may know that I have the authority to forgive sins, I will heal this guy. Not so you can be blessed and prove how awesome you are. That there's a gospel, and that's the stories I hear around the world. It is tied to the gospel, not to a prosperity of the church. I don't think the church, I think we're called to be suffering servants. I think that's our job description. But we use that authority, that and you cannot dissuade me. That is our job description, is to continue the ministry of the suffering of Jesus so that others may be saved. But we do have power in the gospel, and right now, that may require a different kind of conversation with people so they can experience that authority. So, yep. Lord, we're grateful for this conversation. Pray you would just help those who are eager to take this class to sort out the details. Pray for those who are leading Joe or videos. I just pray we would come around this process and bring faith and curiosity and want to be in community as we sort these things out. And we lift up Tim, we lift up so many people with physical challenges, and they become spiritual issues because they even if it's just purely physical, because it interferes with our capacity to enjoy you and know you and question you. And Lord, so I pray in all things you would draw us near to you, and you would nurture a great trust, a great love, and your goodness, and that this life is very hard, but you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.